The Vodcast.
I'm just a simple man trying to make my way in the universe.
I can bring you in warm, or I can bring you in cold.
He's no good to me dead.
Yo, what up? It's your boy Jacepticeye. I'm out here. You listen to the Vodcast. Let's go.
It's Alejandro Sparrowfett. Bring on those milkshakes and Twi'leks.
And it's Buddha, a.k.a. Buddha Fett, a.k.a. Don't At Me.
All right. So we got, so it is now time for the Vodcast with myself, Sparrowfett, lover of Twi'leks and the milkshakes. And we got Buddha with us this evening as well. Buddha, what's up?
Not much. Buddha here. Don't at me. You know, I do say offensive things. Jacepticeye will not be joining us tonight. He is instead looking for a new cargo hold.
Put Captain Solo in the cargo hold.
Instead, you have just Buddha and I, so all bets are off.
Yeah, honestly, you're lucky to have a wonderful host as me and Alex. Jay will be back next week, hopefully. Today's episode, we'll be going over Season 2, Episode 4, The Siege. And we also have a special guest interview later on in the show with the Lady Fett. So please stick around for that. But Alex, let's jump right in. You woke up at 4 a.m. to watch the show.
Yes, as I was saying in the interview as well, this is the 9 p.m. See how tired I am? 9 p.m. martini, Mando martini, dirty style, Tatooine style, Sparrow Fett that you're listening to right now.
Don't skimp on my umbrellas. You know what they say? Let a smile be your umbrella. Well, my face is a big letter T.
I'm a lot more awake. I'm a lot more inebriated. At the 4 a.m., I'm just, you know, I'm just waking up, watching the Mando processing. So here we are. I've got my A game right now with my martini in one hand. And actually, Buddha was talking about, what are you drinking, Buddha? Or are you not drinking?
I got some Strathallan whiskey. Took a family trip to Colorado a couple years ago with everyone. And went up some skiing, did some skiing up there, up in Breckenridge. And got some Strathallan whiskey while I was there. And fell in love with it. That and Breckenridge whiskey and rum. Some great distilleries up there. Yeah, so you're up. I woke up at 5 to watch.
So
what'd you think? Because I have, you know, I have.
I'm mixed, but mostly positive. You know my opinion. I think that the production of Rogue One, you're going up against a guy that loved Rogue One and think that everything should be modeled, or that bar should go higher, if not that much higher, but it's got to go higher or at least make that bar for Rogue One. So, okay. But I got to remember this is a multi-episode series. So it's definitely more exciting than season one. It's a lot more quality than season one. This episode I was expecting maybe kind of like a filler episode, like we were expecting every other.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we got a great episode out of the last one, the chapter 11 with Bo-Katan, obviously Mando's. We're hyped. And remember, my thing is that we're not taking a breath. We're getting action right away. We get a little bit of a breath here. As I mentioned, the Mando's coming out of...
At first.
Well, yeah.
First 5 minutes. Breath. Right.
First 5 minutes. We get a little bit of a preview. Obviously, some season one stuff.
He arrives in Navarro.
He arrives in Navarro with his Mon Calamari-esque... like I said, it looks like the Krusty Krab.
Yeah, that threw ship up in there. Is not doing well.
It just looks like crap. It looks like something out of East LA, kind of like a low rider that just needs a lot of work. And then he's arriving in Navarro. Obviously, it's kind of funny that he's tried to get the kid to help him repair it. And it's kind of like, we got to stop and see some friends. You want to see Auntie Kara and Uncle Krieg?
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry. I said like Krieg Lars.
No, that's okay. You say Creed. That's fine. That's what we all really know him from, right?
All right. Creed.
Apollo Creed.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you and your dad, me and my dad, anytime working on the project with your father, it usually doesn't go well. Yeah. You know, The Mandalorian took it pretty well. There was no yelling, no swearing. Definitely a change from how I was brought up if I crossed the wires.
I feel like women are saying that they want the Mandalorian. They want to have his kid because this is he's a good dad.
Common collective. But,
just call me daddy.
Yeah. They want to have his kid because, you know, that's he's just really good.
So he arrives, Cara Dune, everything, you know, the city pretty much safe, right? They have a school.
Yeah, they cleaned up that town pretty quickly. Yeah. I mean, all of a sudden in the bar where that shootout went out with Moff Gideon, I mean, it's a school now, so it doesn't even look like a bar. So that's some kick-ass time. And like and the time is a little blurred, obviously. Yeah. The time is a little bit blurred there. Like, obviously, how long was that? You know,
6 months later.
We don't care. Obviously, this is a story. Yeah, but a that's pretty good. Right.
Right. So, you know, he has to go on the mission again. So he gets, you know, same kind of, you know, show formula. You know, Mando arrives somewhere, gets a quick babysitter, you know, puts the child in the classroom where he's stealing snacks. But so the military base, the last Empire base on the planet, needs to be blown up. So that is the mission for an exchange for ship repair.
So this is where the action starts.
Yeah.
And I kind of like this because I think there was a very video game feel to this. You've played Knights of the Old Republic and like the role playing type games for Star Wars, right?
I didn't like them, to be honest with you. So you find me there.
You're a different breed. It's okay. No, and some people don't like the RPG games. I haven't played any other RPG games other than the Star Wars ones, for obvious reasons. And I didn't even know it was an RPG game. I was like 19 when this game came out, and this isn't like an action game. You have to actually ask questions. I thought I was going to get bored, but no, I was hooked. But in this case, it's kind of the same thing. Like, oh, I guess we have to land on this planet and get, you know, in order to get repairs, looks like we're going to have to help out, you know, Karga, and we have Cara Dune, and obviously we have a resurgence of our boy Mythal. I didn't know that was his name,
yeah.
Mythal. I was saying his name wrong earlier in the review. I was like saying Menthol and Mythosol.
It was 4 o'clock in the morning. It's okay. No one judging you.
And this is Horatio Sands, which we get to see. He's in his what was the name that he gave him? Well, anyway, this is like Krieg's lackey now. He's like an accountant. He was a money launderer or whatever it was doing. He's serving his time 350 years.
You violated the law. Pay the court a fine or serve your sentence.
And now he's got his lackey and he's driving him around. This is some. Now, Krieg was just like this. I'm sorry, not Krieg. I keep saying Creed and I keep saying like it's grief. Karga. He's got this guy driving around too. That's some Star Wars.
Yeah, Rocky ain't showing up nowhere.
Right, he's got some Star Wars baller stuff now. He's got a driver. He's got his own personal accountant in our boy Mythal, Mythal.
His own action figure coming out.
And exactly right. So this is some baller stuff. And now he's got he's hired the Mando again to take down this base. Which we get to this base very video game like, and stormtroopers. It's always nice to see stormtroopers falling from high distances. Mando's already going to town at this place, getting inside it. And the reason they're trying to get out of trying to get this place blown up is because it's like a honeypot for mercenaries and people to try and take over the planet. It's got a lot of kick-ass goodies, imperial goodies, imperial weapons, all sorts of stuff that makes it that target.
They just need to blow it up. They needed to overheat the reactor core, and boom.
How'd you like that? How'd you like that sequence when they're blasting their way in, and our boy has to go on that platform that looks like the same platform from the Death Star that Obi-Wan Kenobi went on.
Yeah, right. No handrails. I honestly skipping a little bit ahead. So they get into the base. You know, they sneak in. They kill a couple stormtroopers. They overheat the reactor. The base got like 10 minutes left. So. Real quick, right? So now they're trying to get out. The coolest scene, in my opinion. So, sorry, let's talk a little more. They're trying to blast their way out. They see that troop cargo transporter. I don't know the official name of it. We saw it in last season when the stormtrooper.
But Cara Dune's all turned on by it.
Yeah, right. So that troop transport vehicle, they get in it. So first of all, sorry, rewinding. The Mandalorian has left, right? Because as they're in the base, they discover, what did they discover, right? They discover that this is not.
They discovered a lab.
Really, a military base.
This wasn't just a base.
This is a lab.
This was a lab, yeah.
And they're using the child's blood for some sort of testing. And
I thought.
Crazy.
In my review, I thought that looked like a Snoke clone.
So in my opinion, right, so when they get into this facility, they find out that Moth Gideon's alive. The doctor we met in season one is still alive, and they're using the child for some sort of DNA cloning, right? Testing, and the subjects aren't living, for whatever reason, and they need more of the child's blood to continue with the testing. Now,
right?
When I think of the Rise of Skywalker and cloning, it feels to me that all the cloning on Snoke and the Emperor took place on Exegol. Right, because when Kylo Ren lands and they're building the whole fleet there, obviously there's way more to that planet than we saw. Right, they have enough facilities on the planet Palpatine is at his clone or his body, whatever you want to call him, to grow Snoke clones, to build a whole arsenal. Right, I personally think, you know, going back to the Force Awakens, because everything's going to interconnect here, because we've already heard the female officer say the new era, right? This will bring us into the new era. The new era is the First Order. So I think possibly, if you remember what Maz said in The Force Awakens, that's a story for another time. Are we now starting to hear that story of where Luke Skywalker's lightsaber came from after he got his hand cut off on Bespin?
I really want to see that.
So I'm wondering, right?
And maybe that was Lucasfilm's thing. Maybe they just said, you know, and Disney said, well, we just can't end it at three films. Right? We own this now. We're not going to do what Lucasfilm did or what George Lucas did and say, well, I'm going to make three films and wait 15 years before I do anything else.
So I'm going to speculate, right? I'm going to say that I don't think they're trying to clone Palpatine at this facility.
All right. Well, we're not. Yeah. Right? Okay. So they're definitely trying to do something.
That's my speculation.
Force related. Yeah. Because they said M count. So that's only a midichlorian, right?
That has to be, right? So I think they have Luke Skywalker's hand. I think they're trying to, you know, one of our buddies said.
Clone a Skywalker.
I think they're trying to breed. Almost, because you look at the end where they're looking at those suits, right? So are they trying to clone Luke Skywalker, right? Or are they trying to use and to create force-wielding stormtroopers, right? Because, you know, you saw dark suits.
We're skipping ahead, but we can talk about it because we're speculating now.
We're deep into speculating.
Yeah, we're just speculating.
What if,
just
go bear with me here. Go with this. Go on this ride with me. What if they'd succeeded, and the first stormtrooper that was force sensitive from this maybe trial testing from this,
the experiments
may have been Finn. Now we're going down a dark path of what was the First Order trying to do with their clones? Well, not their clones. Excuse me. What was the First Order trying to do with their stormtroopers? What is Moth Gideon trying to do with those suits?
Because
they look like a mix between Vader's outfits and Death Troopers. With the hoses coming out and looking all scary and stuff. A lot of speculation. So I think this episode, I know we were kind of jumping all over the place here. I think this episode is going to be underrated because of what it could possibly set up for the future of Star Wars. Not just for the future of The Mandalorian. But for the future of storytelling, from the time the Empire fell, from the time the First Order started to build, to the fall of the First Order. Because, man, you could go a lot of ways here. And we know Ahsoka hasn't even shown up yet. Right? So how do you build a story, multiple seasons of The Mandalorian, right? How do you build sour storytelling when you can't have the Mandalorian and the child in every episode.
I talked about that in my review where, you know, this has to be finite. It's not going to keep going forever. You just can't do that. That bores the audience. And then that doesn't leave for new adventures, for new characters. That's what Star Wars is about. It's for the evolution of a character. It's for the evolution of the Luke evolution, that Luke recipe, the one they used for Rey. Yep. It needs to happen.
I agree.
That's the circle of life for Star Wars. And this is my speculation. They have season two. They have season three of The Mandalorian. If they have season four, that's the last. It's not season three, right? And they have this little spinoff with Boba Fett. But then what is next? Is it this? Is it an Ahsoka type of live action Ahsoka? Obviously, we know we're getting Obi-Wan. We're getting a Cassian series with my boy Diego Luna. What is this going to breed? Obviously, everybody's got Mando fever right now. Obviously, we have some Bo-Katan
we're
fans.
We're definitely getting
Mando fans. We have Boba Fett fans.
If we don't get a limited edition series of the Night Owls, right? If we don't get Night Owls, if we don't get Bo-Katan, if we don't get a Boba Fett, if we don't get those, we're being robbed. And Disney doesn't like money. That could be the only explanation.
I know, but we know that Disney loves money.
Money, money, money. See, there's your Mr. Krabs.
The money.
We know.
So let's go back to the show.
Yeah.
So we speculated, right? Because we have only a couple more episodes left. So episode on episode on episode. Mm-hmm. Oh,
well, speculation. We have four more episodes. We're only halfway through the first season. So, technically, this is the halfway point.
So the Mando has to go because the Mando realized, oh no, Gideon's alive. The child not with me. Child's in danger. So the Mandalorian is like, hey, oh, you guys got this? So he bounces on his jetpack. They get into the troop transport carrier. The base is about to blow up in like 5 minutes.
Thank you for pressing the self-destruct button. This ship will self-destruct in 3 minutes.
The coolest scene as they're leaving, going down that mountain, right? When the scout troopers
I know what you're talking
got
about.
On their bikes, right? And they were chasing it, going down the mountain themselves. They, for a moment, looked so badass, right? And so cocky. They looked like they had swagger, right? They just looked like we're...
That was like the Star Wars Sons of Anarchy.
They looked like they're about to fuck shit up, right? And all of a sudden... Two of them hit each other and just fucking explode. And I died. I'm like, oh my God.
I don't care what universe you're from. That's gotta hurt.
That was an amazing scene. Right? Because that, to me, that is a little bit of Star Wars humor right there. Right? Just sprinkled in, makes you laugh.
That's good.
Still action packed. And then, they obviously dispose of the scout troopers in the chase. And then, they're being chased by those TIE fighters again. And what happens?
Well, yeah. Now we have Karga. I like the sequence because you got. I'm a fan of characters.
Absolutely.
I'm a fan of Gina Carano, and so she's having fun with this thing. She gets in this is like, okay, baby, let's go do this or whatever. She's loving this big tank, and she obviously takes it off the cliff as well. The blue guy's speeder gets killed, and Karga knows that we're getting tailed. So he gets in the back, and he gets himself on the turret, and he's picking off these guys on scout trooper on the speeder bikes. And then, of course, Kara takes one out. Of course, those are idiots. Why do they get to the side of this thing? They're just going to get squished into the side of a mountain, and they're trying to fire with these tiny little pistols. And this is great because this sequence. I love action. I love action. It doesn't have to have the Mando. It's got to have Star Wars action. So we got. Grief picking all these guys off, and then all of a sudden we have the TIE fighters. And this is great because my wife is a TIE. She loves TIE fighters, so she's got two TIE costumes for 501st. And these are the 181st TIE. They have the tiers, so to speak. They have these gray tiers. Now, obviously, you see these in Return of the Jedi as well. So these are TIE fighters a la Return of the Jedi. So I'm going to speculate that, and maybe those TIE freaks can tell us otherwise, but these are the 181st. These are these elite TIE fighters. And Grief is just picking them off as well. Obviously, we didn't get he got one, and then all of a sudden he's getting tailed by two other ones, and you know, obviously the Mando took off, and now all of a sudden we see this beautiful, pristine,
clean as a whistle,
just newly repaired Razor Crest. Clean, yeah, that was fast service. That was good. That was like take five oil change. Yeah, that was like take five oil change, and it was done. Like, how fast could that have possibly done? And here we have the brand new, nice, and I love the way this action sequence came out. He intercepts the two TIEs, and then he does this nice little, going to hit the brakes.
The
and,
sound. The sound.
Fly
of
it. Right by kind of thing where he just brakes. Yes, it's good. It would have made Ben Burtt like really
it was
proud.
Beautiful, yeah. Just the stop, mixing and he just like kind of ridiculous. Floating there, and then the engine kicks back in, right? The flaps close, and he hits the engine again. You see him warm up and rev up, and you know that last TIE fighter screwed.
And that's good. And this action sequence to end that fight is great. It's Star Wars. It's good. And so now this was a little catchy part. Is like, at least let me buy you a drink. It's like, well, I'll take just the repairs. Yeah. You know that thanks for the repairs. We'll just call it even kind of thing. And you know, he has to take off because obviously it is good story writing. Obviously the dialogue has to be there, but it's good story writing. I got to take off, obviously. And he's got to find Ahsoka, and he knows that Gideon is still alive. Yeah. Moff Gideon is still alive.
As a child eating
this
his
adds
cookies.
A little one because macaroons. Now, are we going to see these at? Are we going to see these at Galaxy's Edge?
Probably. Can we just talk about how cute it was when the baby threw up? And is it going to be 501st screen accurate if your cape has blue vomit on
you're
it?
Definitely going to bring this up.
Is that going to make it into the CRLs?
Wait a minute.
He did.
Use the cape?
Yeah, he used the cape.
He used a piece of the
he
cape?
He used the whole
used
cape. Like the bottom of the cape. He lifted his cape up and then wiped his mouth off.
The Mandalorian is now christened. Now, he hasn't changed the diaper.
But he said, I have he's to like, do some onboard repairs, basically attend to the child.
That's nothing. If you're a dad, if you're listening.
So let's go back to.
That's like an easy cleanup.
Let's go back to. So Mando leaves. Navarro, you know, the X-Wing pilot we saw last episode that you had a terrible name with. He's back, right?
No. And I got it down. It's Carson Tava, okay. Captain Carson Tava.
He's back.
And he's our 501st actor, and he's back. He's doing a great job. He's like I'm patrolling this area. It's like, so he's like that, like what Jay was saying, like kind of sort of. Now he's turned over. He's not a cop to me. I think he's just trying to do right. So he comes in, right? And he's questioning Greef Karga on this, and Greef, of course, is, you know, putting his feet up on the desk and be like,
he's looking for the Razor Crest. He's like, "Hey, was the Razor Crest?" Like, I have no idea what you're talking about, bro.
Right.
And then
of
he
course,
talks to Cara Dune.
You know, he's just, you know, blowing smoke or whatever.
Yeah, he's being,
now,
you know, playing naive.
Because
was really good. It brought some.
Yeah,
it made
good.
You connect with her more. I feel like, and it was sad.
Hmm. Yeah.
Obviously, she was from Alderaan.
Lost family. Obviously,
she was born on Alderaan. He fought on Alderaan, and obviously, she lost everyone. So that connection there, and then handing of the belt buckle, right? With the
is that a buckle or is that? So we're trying to speculate on that because we're asking some of our. Boys
well, I mean, there is no speculation. So I'll send you the picture. Cara Dune's official cardboard standee came out. And you see that belt buckle on her. So she is wearing that belt buckle. So maybe that's a spoiler for another episode.
Oh.
But it appears that Rebel metal coin or, you know, obviously buckle that she was given at the end of the episode ends up on her belt buckle. So I'll send you that picture. Maybe we could post it up on the Instagram story. But no. So then we go back and we see every single time, which I still love, right? Is gorgeous. It'll never get old. We see the Star Destroyer, right, from underneath, floating on top of the screen.
It's kind of a Star Destroyer.
Kind of a Star Destroyer,
it's
yeah,
kind
sure.
Of a Star Destroyer.
Maybe not a Star Destroyer,
like
maybe,
a
you know, a smaller class, but we get that image, right? It's the triangle,
like
almost,
some sort
right?
of research vessel or
and
something like that.
It comes above your screen
yeah.
every time. It's just a beautiful shot. Moff Gideon is there. And we find out that the Razor Crest is being tracked. Sidetrack.
Yeah,
how naive is the Mandalorian?
Some lackey or whatever.
How can he keep trusting people?
Well, I mean, it's got to be written in.
He trusted too many people every episode.
Of course, now if he was perfect, we wouldn't have a
valid point.
If he didn't have some sort of weird, if he didn't have some sort of flaw, like to trust people, and if he wasn't trying to do good,
you're right. No,
we just don't have anything. It's kind of like those memes where you know they just cut to written and directed by.
So we got four episodes left, right? So after we know he's being tracked. We know Gideon's up to something. Moth Gideon's up to something with cloning, with blood, with some sort of death trooper looking suits. We know that's coming. So we know in the next four episodes, mm-hmm. what do we need to see, Alex? We need to see Bo-Katan and the Night Owls. We need to see Death Watch.
Wow, there's so many elements. So many elements here. First of all, we're going to see another Cara Dune Greef Karga sighting.
100%.
They're not done.
They're back. Bo-Katan's back.
Bo-Katan is not done.
Death Watch is back. Ahsoka Tano is back. Moth Gideon is back. Boba Fett is back.
There's a lot. There's a lot to be consumed in the next four episodes. Are they going to be able to put it all in the next four episodes? What is the end? There's
there
no filler episode. I don't think there's any
more filler episodes after this.
A do filler episode.
You could take this to the bank. This is a Buddha guarantee that you'll be seeing. Bo-Katan, Death Watch, Ahsoka Tano, Boba Fett, Cara Dune, whole nine yards.
No, Boba Fett. All right. Boba Fett, something else.
You'll see Boba Fett one more time.
No Boba Fett. I don't think you're going to see some Boba Fett. I don't agree.
You think they're going to tease us with 2 seconds of Boba Fett in the first episode and not come back to that?
Remember they said something about making a season or
but in order you need to build that up. What was he doing on Tatooine?
There's a lot for the next four episodes. I do agree.
To get to the bank.
Boba may not be one of them.
It leaves me wanting more. A lot of speculation. A lot of action. A lot of Cara Dune. Love Cara Dune. Yeah, you got anything else? Because today's episode is great, man. We got, episode 4 and our interview coming up, which I think everyone are going to love. It was a really quick, nice. Oh, yeah. She's great.
I think it was a good interview. I've never interviewed anybody before except for work.
It was, right? I think this episode will be a little shorter than our, 36-minute episodes in the past. So hopefully you guys enjoy the content.
I'm up for a call. I'm up for another recording at least Friday or Saturday. I mean, if it's a little delayed, it's okay. The Thanksgiving holiday edition.
We're definitely getting an episode on Black Friday for sure.
Not skipping.
Absolutely not. But
so we're not skipping anything as far as delivering quality podcast, vodcast, quality review from the vodcast team here.
That's what we're here for. We're here for you.
You're definitely going to get something. So for everyone here at the podcast, we're here for you.
We are extending a very happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Please
enjoy it responsibly. Yes, he is.
Yes, I second that. Enjoy responsibly. Do not drive. We'll see you guys.
Well, everybody, that has been today's episode of the podcast. Tune in next time for the review of the next chapter of The Mandalorian. Also, don't forget to head over to Apple Podcasts to subscribe and leave that 5-star review. And feel free to follow us on Instagram at The Vodcast. That's the_vod_cast. I'm Tyler, co-producer of The Vodcast, saying, this is the way.